Book of Jude. We're going to begin reading in chapter 12, verse 12. And we're going to read the rest of the chapter from there on. Verse 12 through 25. But our focus will be tonight on verses 20 and 21. As we begin reading, we've been talking about false Christians sneaking in the church and disrupting God's work. And it's given a very accurate description in the first part of what we'll read tonight. The idea that the point to this message is, what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Jude tells us, this was coming. They were dealing with it then. We're still dealing with it today. So what do we do about it? Verse 12, would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Talking about these false Christians, fake Christians. These are spots on your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great and swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual or worldly persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, and here's where I want you to pay close attention, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord and Savior, of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we approach your throne of grace once again tonight, we pray, Lord, for your guidance and your word. Speak to us, Lord, that we may understand. Speak to us that we may grow in you. Speak to us, Lord, that we may have fellowship with you tonight through your word. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. That's just a fact, and we've come to the point that we've accepted this fact that there are people in today's churches who are not Christians. They're fake Christians. Just because they go to church does not make them a Christian. Any more than going to a car dealership makes you a car, I guess, you know. Jude calls them clouds without water. You can relate to that if you're a farmer. When I was on the farm, being raised on the farm, we would look at those thunderstorms or thunderclouds that would rise up. And if you're a farmer in the summertime, July, August time frame, you're praying for water. These clouds would rise up, they'd go around, when I was working the farm and driving a tractor, I would see that coming. I'd think, oh, I might get the evening off. But they'd go around and go the other way. Filled me with disappointment. But that's what these fake Christians are. Clouds, storms without water, trees without fruit, meaning they have nothing to contribute and they do not contribute to the work of the Lord. Their goal is selfish. They're grumblers, flatterers, worldly-minded people. So what do you do about it? Well, the first thought is we take a stand. We fight. But that's not what he said. He gave us four things. Jude gives us four things to do. And it might surprise you how he says to deal with it. Okay? Verse 20. But you, number one. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So the first thing you do is you build. Okay? You build yourself. Literally it says build on your faith. And the idea there is to add or to grow your faith. If you do not grow your faith, you'll fall for anything. And you wonder if in the world that we live in today, there's a lot of garbage out there in churches. And people just flock to it. And it's the reason they do is they don't know any better. So Jude is telling us how do we deal with it? First of all, we've got to educate ourselves. There must be a deliberate and daily time in the Word of God. You can never be satisfied with what you know today. I've discovered a long time ago that the older I get, the less I know. The more I study, the less I know. But the older I get, the more I want to know. Are you that way? No, and never become satisfied where you are. One of the great joys, honestly, of my life is to learn. I like to know things that I did not know before. And especially in the Word of God. And so, I want to challenge you. If we're going to stand, we're going to have to know what we stand on. The only way to know what we stand on is to get into the Word of God, a daily personal time of Bible study. But not just there. We need help. I mean, it's okay to need a little assistance in our need a little assistance in our knowledge of the Scripture. That's why we have Sunday morning Bible studies. Come to Sunday morning Bible study. Brother Greg does a pretty good job. Brother Anthony does a pretty good job. We have some good teachers. No, we have some great teachers. Knowledgeable people of the Word of God that spend a lot of time preparing. Let me encourage you. Come to Sunday morning Bible classes. FBI. We're not talking about the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We're talking about Faith Bible Institute. A great opportunity. They meet every week on Tuesday night. Get involved. It's an opportunity for you to be taught the Word of God. Wednesday evening Bible study. I know that's a lot of church time. If you come Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night and go to FBI, that's a lot of church time. But trust me, we need it in the day that we live. If we don't educate ourselves in the Word of God, we will accept anything that Satan throws in the church. So that's number one. We build. Second thing we do is we pray. Look, verse 20 once again. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You must have a consistent prayer life. Time where you get alone with God and share your heart with God. Now, praying in the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about some eerie, kind of touchy-feely woo-woo thing, you know. No, praying in the Spirit, that happens by people who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them in their prayer life. What I'm talking about is in most Christians' prayer life today, I dare say, or a lot of Christians' prayer life today, we do before a meal. And what's the meal prayer? Lord, thank you for this food. We pray that you'll bless it to the nourishments of our bodies and our bodies to your service. Amen. I don't know who came up with that prayer, but they did a really good job. I mean, it sounds really good. But have you communed with God in that prayer? Not when it becomes just a religious exercise. What I'm talking about is getting alone with God. Going to your prayer closet, going to your prayer corner, and kneeling down on your face before God and just talking to God and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to tell you what to pray for. I've heard time and time again, brother, I just don't know what to pray for. I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of times I don't know what to pray for. And there are times that I pray, Lord, just tell me what to pray for. Because our prayer life should match the desires of God. Should it not? Okay? Not just, Lord, bless me, bless them, and take care of my family. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's not prayer. Seeking the Lord on your knees. Asking God, guys, Lord, what should I pray for? And I'll be honest with you. That was a prayer that's been repeated in my life for the last 6 months a lot. Because it's just where we are. And I'm not alone. I challenge you, every day, set aside 15 minutes where you and God are alone. Now, if you say, Brother Doug, I don't have 15 minutes. You're too busy. Okay, you're way too busy. Brother Doug, I have kids. Listen, let Dad take care of kids for 15 minutes. Okay? Or wait till they go to bed or whatever. But listen, if you can't give God 15 minutes of your undivided attention, you are too busy. And I am convinced, as God's people, if we're going to be effective, our power comes from God. And the success and the power that we have will be based upon our prayer life. I've often heard people say, "Boy, I just don't know why God's not working, God's not doing." Are you praying? I mean, really pray. I mean, really, really pray. Where you've given God your undivided attention. It's the second thing you have to do. You've got to have a prayer life. Third thing you have to do to combat these fake Christians is keep yourselves in God's love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The idea there is that you occupy yourself with the love that God has for you. You ever just think and sit down and talk to God about how He loves you? I mean, He really does love you. Do you get that? The only thing I can compare it to is, I really love Beth. I really do. But God loves me more than I love Beth because He's better at it than I am. I really love my children. I really do. But God loves me more than I love my children. And I really love my grandkids. But God loves me more than that because He's better at it than I am. And boy, when I think about the heart that I have for Beth and for my children and for my grandchildren, and I think, God, You've got that a bigger heart for me. I'm almost in silence, you know. But what I've discovered is when I walk and I base my life on God's love for me, my life changes. You see, if I walk in God's love, it's hard for me to be bitter to other people. If I walk in God's love, it's hard for me to be ungodly. If I walk in the love of God, I just naturally want to share that love with other people. That's what happens. And the reason Jude's telling you this, he's saying there's a lot of fake Christians out there and you're going to have to learn how to deal with them. You don't deal with them by attacking them and slandering and blaspheming and all that and playing the game like they play the game. You deal with it with knowledge, with prayer, and by walking in the love of God and letting them see what the love of God really looks like. And then finally, I want to say the best one. I don't know if it's the best one or not, but the most exciting one. I can say that. Okay? In verse 21, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That word looking is expecting. You know what he's talking about there? We're looking for mercy. What's going to be the most merciful thing you can think of? I'll tell you. One of these days, Jesus is coming back. One of these days, He's coming back to get His children. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. I love that verse because it reminds me this world is not my home. Yes, I want the United States of America to be a godly country. I want us to have God's man in the presidential office. But I do know this, that no matter which direction this country goes, no matter what president is elected, one of these days, my Jesus is going to step out from heaven, the trumpet's going to sound, and in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, we're going to go away. And we'll be with Him forevermore. You see, there's the encouragement. You got to be reminded every once in a while, this world's not our home. We're only passing through. I like that old song. And you know, sometimes we get to looking at things and the way things are. And you know, yes, there are fake Christians in churches and there are fake Christians out there who profess to believe in God, but they live like the devil. And I'll tell you, you listen to the news and you listen to the politics and you listen to all that's going on today, it's depressing. But God's called us to be different. As believers, we're people that know where we're going. We're people of prayer. We're people that are walking in the love of God. And we're people that are expecting. You know, as I thought about this, the news is not all bad. It's really not. It's all a matter of who you listen to. You listen to God. Don't listen to CNN, ABC, NBC, and all that. No, they don't know what's going on. God knows what's going on. You listen to God with an expectation that Jesus is coming. And beloved, I do believe and I know no person knows the hour, no person knows the day. But I believe we're soon. I believe we're close. Jesus could come even today. I think everything points to it. But whether He comes today, next week, next month, next year, it's good to be a child of the King. It's good to be a real Christian. The Holy Spirit of God living within you. Do you have that assurance tonight? Are you a child of God? Are you saved? If you're not saved, my friends, I want you to just stop and think. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. And the choice is yours. Do you realize that God has never sent anybody to hell? Never. People have chosen hell over God. You see, God sent His Son, His only begotten Son. His name was Jesus. To die upon the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine, so that you wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. Jesus died on that cross of Calvary. He suffered to pay your sin debt so that you would not have to spend eternity in hell. And today, we're told through the Word of God, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus has done all that so that you would not have to spend eternity in hell. But the choice is yours. Tonight, I want you to choose Jesus. Choose heaven. Your price was paid 2,000 years ago. And now, by very simply crying out to Jesus, asking Him to save you, knowing that He died for your sins, rose from the grave, and is alive today, seated at the right hand of the Father, you can leave here today knowing where you're going, that your eternity is hell. It's heaven, sorry. You can leave here today with the assurance, I will spend eternity with Jesus Christ in the place that He's prepared. Do you have that? If you don't, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you. Will you accept Jesus? Will you call upon Jesus tonight to make Him the Lord and the Savior of your life? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Father, You are good. And we thank You for the price that You paid for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. We praise You because there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved.
So tonight we rejoice in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, I pray for those that are listening and watching this message. And I pray for those who do not know You as their personal Savior. They do not have the assurance of heaven. They do not know what it's like to walk in Your love. Lord, I pray that tonight You will convict them of sins and You will draw them to You. And that, Lord, they will have the courage and the common sense to cry out to You for salvation. Lord, we love You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.